If it feels like no one understands your problems or cares to listen, if it feels like there is no one else in this world who has gone through what you have, if you feel like you're so close to giving up but still holding on, Cafe with Monica was made for you. I'll show you how to deal with the everyday and not so everyday situations that surface in the lives of millennials. By sharing my experiences and knowledge, I hope to inform, inspire, and provide solutions to problems that may seem out of reach. So grab your coffee or drink of choice and let's just talk about it. Welcome to Cafe with Monica. This is episode one. I am Monica, your host, a millennial helping millennials to hashtag just talk about it over coffee. In this episode, we will be talking about anxiety and how to alleviate your symptoms. A lot of people think, oh, no, I don't have an anxiety disorder, so no, I don't have anxiety. I've never been diagnosed, so of course I don't have anxiety. I don't deal with it on an everyday. But anxiety, actually everyone has anxiety, even when they think they don't actually have it. Anxiety is your body's natural response to stress. It's that feeling of fear or just feeling worried about what's to come, like the first day of going to school or going to get a job interview or giving a speech. All of these things may cause people to feel fearful or nervous. But if you are experiencing these feelings for an extremely amount of time and you're constantly always feeling this way, then you may have an anxiety disorder. So that just what makes the difference between just experiencing anxiety and having an anxiety disorder. An anxiety disorder should last longer, while anxiety should be something that you have ever so often and not so much where it is debilitating and you cannot function properly. And so I'm quickly going to talk about some of the signs and symptoms that people can kind of catch and see. And if you do experience some of these things, then you might be experiencing anxiety. If you're experiencing all of these and these are persistent, then you may need to seek some assistance or help from a professional. But don't freak out. We're going to talk about this. We are going to give you some tips, and I'm going to kind of tell you a little bit more about my experience and situations where I've had anxiety and things like that. So without further ado, I'm going to talk about signs and symptoms of anxiety. So what are some signs and symptoms of anxiety? Well, feeling nervous, irritable, or on edge. Having a sense of like there's danger or panic or doom. Having an increased heart rate or breathing rapidly, such as like hyperventilation, sweating or trembling. Feeling weak or tired. Having difficulty concentrating. Having trouble sleeping because your thoughts are just all over the place. You may even experience some gastrointestinal problems. Yeah, you may experience it. That's actually part of anxiety. And so those are some of the signs and symptoms that you can look and see if you're experiencing those things. And if you are, I just want to share with you some stories of some instances where I felt anxiety and I didn't even know I was experiencing it. Like it was crazy. I look back at it now and I just think, wow. Why do I say wow? Because I was in grad school when I had my first panic attack. I was in grad school and I went to grad school for rehabilitation counseling. And, you know, we covered mental health topics, all kinds of topics. And obviously anxiety was something that we talked about. And so I knew the signs and the symptoms and I knew what it was. And I thought, I know what it was. So if I'm experiencing it, obviously, I would be able to deal with it and cope with it because I know what it is and I know that there are things that I can do and put in place to help me cope with it. Well, so the story starts in my second year of grad school and it was my second year and in grad school, to be considered a full-time student, you have to take 9 credit hours. And I thought that I could do 12. So I did because there were some classes online, and I think I only had about 2 of those classes on campus as well. So I thought, well, if the rest are online, I'm able to manage my time really well. And I think I could do it, right? And I was also working part-time in my graduate department. And so I was working part-time. And I even took out, I think, a second job, but I didn't really start that job until October, doing some job coaching, helping some kids with disabilities kind of learn their job. So I was doing that. And then, of course, 12 hours. And I was part of the Graduate Student Council, and we did travel that semester as well. So there was a lot of things going on. I had a lot of stuff on my plate. And I think the minute I started knowing that something was about to hit the fan was when my professor gave us an assignment the beginning of the semester to write a proposal for a research paper we would be submitting at the end of the semester. And so I'm the type of person that I like to do things in advance, and so I sent that proposal in advance, and my professor didn't actually get to it. Like, she didn't even talk about it till possibly 2-3 weeks before it was actually due. And so I was never aware if my proposal was denied or if she wanted me to tweak it or whatever the case was. But so she actually sent me an email, and she says, hey, I don't get your approach. I think that you should change this. And I had already completed the 10-page paper, y'all. I had already completed it. So when she told me this, I was just in shock. Like, are you serious? You're telling me this 3 weeks before finals? What? And I thought I was already done with it because, again, I had so much in my plate. So getting things done in advance was the easiest way for me to cope with all the commitments I had that semester. And I had to do a panel. Well, I had to reach out to people for a panel because we were doing a movie screening for mental health awareness. And I was part of a team. It was actually a class effort, but I wasn't really good at delegating things. I always thought that I did better on my own and I could do things way faster than if I give it to a member of my team. So obviously that's not being a team player, but I wanted things to get done. And if it was going to have my name on it, it had to be great. And so I took it upon myself and had to get all these panelists and just kind of organize the event, do all these things so that this event could be perfect. So that was happening at that time. And of course, I mentioned that I was part of the Graduate Student Council. So we had meetings every other week just to talk about things and events that were going to happen on campus. And I was taking 12 classes as well as working this part-time job and then doing this other job on the side that I was just being trained for. So I had a lot on my plate. I'm not going to lie. I had a lot on my plate, but still, I thought I was still managing. And so whenever my professor and I talked, we talked after she sent me the denial of my proposal. And I told her, you know, this really is unfair because you waited until now to let me know that this is not appropriate. And that's just unfair to me that I had to wait on you for you to give me the okay. You know, I just figured because I never heard from her during the middle of the semester, I thought that I was good to go. But I wasn't. So we talked about it. And at the end of the day, you know, my professor wanted something and different. And so I had to buckle up and do it. I just had to do it. So I did a whole new 10-page research paper, and I remember that week I had so much caffeine, so much Red Bull, just trying to keep up with all the demands I had to do. And everything was fine. I mean, I turned in the paper, I turned in all my work, pretty much fast forward to the last week of finals, and I had already finished my finals because, again, I finished everything pretty quickly, and I would finish everything in advance so that that week of finals, I didn't have anything to do but just work my last couple of hours that I needed to work for the department. And my friend actually asked me that week, hey, can you meet with me today? Because I have to work on this essay for another class. And I'd like for you to help me with it because I'm just not understanding what they want. And I said, obviously, yeah, I'll help you, because I was that person. I was that person who, again, overstretched herself and would always say yes to things. So I said yes. And that morning I had to go to work. So I went to work and I told him that I would see him after work later on that night. And so I went to work and I started having heartburn, like really, really bad heartburn. And I was just thinking, like, what the heck? I've never had heartburn. So why am I experiencing this heartburn? And so I was experiencing this heartburn. I was just feeling like, maybe I'm just sick. Maybe I'm just in my period. Maybe, you know, like, I don't know. My stomach was hurting. You know, my heart just really hurt. And I was just like, I need to go home. And so I went home and I took some ibuprofen, you know, because, you know, I'm a broke college student. So of course, ibuprofen, I don't have money to go and go to the doctor and get this checked out. So whatever, I had some ibuprofen, met my friend later on that night, and I had coffee. I don't know why, but I had coffee, or I think it was hot chocolate. I one of the two. But I was helping him and, you know, trying to kind of hide the fact that I was uncomfortable and that I was having heartburn and all this. I was just feeling so overwhelmed. Like, I don't know, for some reason, I just started hyperventilating. I just could not understand what was going on. I called my mom and I started crying. I said, I don't know what's going on. I just feel so weird. And my mom said, call 911, because she thought I was having a heart attack. I thought I was having a heart attack. So I called 911 and, you know, the ambulance came. And I remember feeling so alone because I did not have anybody there but the people, the first responders that were there. And then, of course, everybody in my apartment complex got out because they wanted to see what the hell's going on. Why is there an ambulance outside of our apartment complex? And so I just remember feeling so alone and just panicked. Yeah, panicked. But here, I'm still thinking I'm having a heart attack. So, you know, the first responders were super nice. They're like, are you okay? You know, you're doing okay. Like, we're almost going to get to the hospital, blah, blah, blah. And so finally, I get into the hospital. I sign in, do some paperwork. The nurse starts giving me all kinds of tests, like EKGs and all kinds of stuff. And I remember them asking, are you pregnant? Have you been doing drugs? And I was just like, no, you know, I'm not pregnant. I'm not doing drugs. No, I'm having this serious symptom. I think I'm having a heart attack. And then the doctor comes in and says, hey, your EKG is fine. Everything is fine. Everything seems normal. Have you been doing drugs? Again, I'm like, I have not been doing drugs. What is your problem, sir? I have not been doing drugs. You know, I kind of started explaining to him the semester and everything. He's like, oh, I know what you're experiencing. And I said, what? What is it? What am I experiencing? I'm having a heart attack, right? He said, no, you have anxiety. And I was just like, what? I have anxiety? That just can't be. He said, yeah, you were having a panic attack. You haven't had one of those before? I said, no, I've never had a panic attack before. Or not that I know, not that I knew of. And he was like, yeah, you're having a panic attack. So I'm just going to prescribe you some Xanax. It's a really low dose. Just take one and you need to sleep because you have not been sleeping, the right amount of time. You have been overbearing yourself and overwhelming yourself with all these things for school. You need to just rest and go home for the holidays and then come back and just recharge. Just don't think about all the commitments. They're going to be there when you get back. I was just in shock. I was like, are you serious? And, you know, and he didn't say all these things in a very nice way, too. Like, I didn't even really like the doctor because at first he was assuming that I did drugs. But once he explained it, I was like, okay. And I was able to call a friend to come pick me up and take me to go get my medicine. And as soon as I took my medicine, I was fine. I pretty much slept the whole day. And then the next day I had to drive back home to Laredo. And it was nice just going back home and just kind of relaxing. But it was really scary, that experience. I don't wish it on anybody. But I know that that was my body responding to the stress that I had put it all that semester. Now, for a lot of people, the buildup does not happen. You don't, some people don't have that where they build it up and then just have a total panic attack. Some people experiencing anxiety have it almost every day, or they just have for that moment when they're having a test or that interview or whatever the case may be. But that was just my experience. And anxiety does not discriminate. It can happen to anybody. It really just depends where your mind is at that point and what is causing you worry or nervousness. So yeah, there are several situations where I've encountered, or now I know, oh my God, I'm just being anxious. It's anxiety. That's what I'm experiencing. But so what did I do after that, right? I came clean to my professors and I told them what happened because I wanted to be transparent and honest about the situation. And I decided to take away some of the responsibilities that I've been putting on myself, like some of these, organizations and all that. I decided to cut down because I knew that my body was responding to stress, and I knew that if I kept going this way, it would have been a matter of time where I would be in the hospital again. And I didn't really want that to happen. I really wanted to work on how I can do less so I would not burn myself out. And so I learned a few techniques that have helped me in the short term. And I've also have worked on long-term goals to help with my anxiety. So some of the short-term goals that I wanted to share, short-term techniques that you can use in your everyday, just to help you, if you are experiencing anxiety, if there are some things in your life that are out of your control that you wish that you could, fix or alleviate some of the symptoms, here are some tips and tricks that have worked for me. So one of those things is taking time out of your day to just do something that is relaxing. And this could be listening to music, dancing, meditation. Stepping back from the problem helps you clear your head. So sometimes you do need to have to take that time out of your day to not focus on the problem, which is really hard. You know, this is something that you have to do with practice. It doesn't come easy to do meditation. It doesn't come easy to stop those anxiety-provoking thoughts. But with practice, and if you continue to apply this every day, and you find what makes you feel relaxed, I believe that this can alleviate some of those symptoms. For me, I love having dance parties, and that's dance parties of one. I like to do a playlist on Spotify, and just if I'm feeling overwhelmed, the only way that I know I can stop from thinking is from occupying my brain. And so how do I occupy my brain? I listen to music and I start dancing. And so I'm using my whole body, my brain. And so it really puts me in a place where I cannot think, and I just have to think about the music and not think about the thoughts. So for me, it's dancing. For some people, it could be other things, and these are just some short things. It's really just finding the time to take time out of your day to just relax. Another thing that was really hard for me, but was another technique on the short term, is not overcommitting. Is writing a list of all your commitments and really looking at those commitments and saying, is this something that I want to continue doing? Is this something that brings value to my life? Is this something that I care about? Or is this something that I just want to do because I want to be busy? So not overcommitting, not overdoing it. You don't have to be in every event. If you're part of an organization, you can pick the events that resonate with you the most in your values, and you can be honest with other leaders of your organization or your work and let them know, you know, right now I have a full plate and this is what I can do right now. So it's just having an open, honest conversations with people about things that you can handle at the moment. Another thing that helps me on the short term with my anxiety is welcoming humor into my life. And that means having a good laugh. And that this could be watching a YouTube video or going out with friends. And I have some friends that particularly they're part of my friend group because they're funny and they bring jokes into the group. And I like being around them because they are funny. They're able to make me laugh. They're able to bring humor into my life. And that helps with my anxiety. That helps me forget about the demands at work. That helps me forget about things that I have going on in my life out of my control. So welcoming humor is another tip that I think would be very helpful for people that I've done myself. And then this is more of a long-term thing, I feel, and that's learning what triggers your anxiety. Is it work? Is it family? Is it school? Write it in a journal. Write it in a journal when you feel stressed or anxious and look for a pattern. And why I say this is long term, it's because this is going to take a little bit more time to find those triggers. And sometimes you need help to find these triggers because you may be in denial about some of the things that are causing you anxiety. You may not see it right away, because it might be something that you love doing or that you loved doing in the past. And so you don't understand why this would be causing you anxiety now. So there could be many things why something triggers you. It could be a past trauma. It could be something that used to be healthy for you and it's no longer healthy. But I think that finding your triggers is a long-term goal, and it's going to be helpful for you to know what is it that is causing you the anxiety so that you can work towards making techniques for yourself that would be able to alleviate some of these symptoms. Now, anxiety can't go away. Anxiety is normal. Sometimes we have anxiety, like I said in the beginning, about school or about going to a job interview. And sometimes those are natural feelings of stress. But if it is debilitating you, if it is causing you the inability to be able to do the things that you want to do, the goals that you want to reach, then I will encourage you to try and research therapy and the benefits of therapy. And I will be covering a little bit more about therapy and the benefits of it and some of the misconceptions. And so I really do hope that I can give you the opportunity to find more solutions to help you alleviate your anxiety and to welcome you to new opportunities that will be helpful in your overall recovery of anxiety. And hopefully you can apply these techniques to your everyday life. So thank you so much for listening in, and I am so happy that you made it to the end. Thanks for listening to Cafe with Monica. This was made for you. So be sure to visit cafewithmonica.com to access the show notes, where I write tips and additional resources for this episode in a location convenient for you. And if you love this episode and found value and can't wait to hear more, go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes. It would mean the world to me. I can't wait for you to listen to the next episode. So see you guys next time.